Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Longhorn Legacy.
We're your hosts, Brody Rosengrantz,
Rain Thomas,
Joy West.
For creative writing, we were instructed to write a short story based on a prompt that was given. My prompt this week was The Quest.
Earlier this year, in the first quarter, Miss Lusk asked us to write short stories for our creative writing class, and one of those short stories happened to be The Quest, smaller epic journeys. If life is a journey, most humans are actively questing for something. We often spend our time chasing a person, aka winning a love interest, getting someone's approval, forgiveness, support, etc. Or chasing a status, money, fame, mere survival, or a specific lifestyle we may have someday. Chasing an object, the One Ring, last Horcrux, Ahab's whale, finding a piece of information. Chasing a bad guy, seeking revenge, justice, or other unfinished business. The most famous quest stories are fantasy and science fiction. For example, Lord of the Rings, The Wizard of Oz. But many are historical, mystery, realistic, or classic. The Great Gatsby, Moby Dick, The Lilith, etc. For this narrative, we were supposed to choose one of the prompts to write a short narrative about that tells as a quest for one of the categories I just.
For centuries, the Holy Grail has been one of the most in-demand Christian relics. As legend says, the cup was once drunk from Jesus at the Last Supper when Jesus was crucified. Joseph of Arimathea used it to collect the blood from his body. Because of the value in the Christian beliefs of Jesus' death and the Eucharist, one of the holiest searches became for the Holy Grail. That is why I, Sir Galahad, have decided to accompany my fellow knights on the search for the one and only precious Holy Grail. You might be wondering, why do you want to find an old crusty cup? That's a good question, actually, and the answer is that I'm not really sure. It may sound silly, but I just had a feeling, and it seemed really important to the other knights that I joined them. All the other knights accepted King Arthur's command because, allegedly, the Holy Grail has the ability to heal all types of wounds, have everlasting life, and create eternal happiness for the seeker. I, however, do not care much for that sort of thing. To be honest, I'm not really a believer, and I'm not the superstitious type. How can someone believe a cup grants them unexplainable powers? I for sure certainly do not. But I, of course, don't say any of my beliefs to my knights. They are superstitious, after all. So here's how I got into this position. It all started when I was reaching adulthood. The day of my 18th birthday, I finally met my long-lost father. You might have heard of him, Sir Lancelot. He seems to be a huge celebrity around here in Camelot, especially since the whole Arthur Guinevere scandal. After I was finally united with my old man, Lancelot, whom I had never met or heard of before, my father challenged me to a duel. I know, this is the weirdest family reunion ever. Since I had never known my father in my lifetime, I had most definitely heard about him, and I had set the goal in my mind that I was going to beat him in the duel. I thought he would be impressed with my skills, and I wanted to make him proud for the 18 years he hasn't been in my life. Turns out, that duel between him and I was the first and only time that Lancelot ever lost in a fair fight to anyone. My plan had worked all along, and Father was so impressed by my dueling skills that he then brought me to King Arthur and his court at Camelot during the Pentecost. That is where I was accompanied by a very old knight who immediately led me over to the round table and unveiled a seat at the Siege Perilous. Although this chair looked like every chair around the table, it was a different chair from the others. It happened to be an unused chair that had been kept vacant for the sole person who would succeed in the quest of the Holy Grail. And listen to this, they thought the chair was talking. I thought they were pulling a prank on me and someone was going to yell, "Just kidding," from behind a curtain, and then we'll all laugh about it. Turns out, it wasn't a prank, and they were dead serious. For all others who had aspired to sit there, that one chair has proved to be immediately fatal. So there I was, hovering over this death chair, as Arthur, my father, and a couple other knights anticipated for me to sit down. I took a hard gulp. My palms were perspiration, and my pulse was pulsating. At least, the last sight I would ever see was a sight of my long-lost, beloved father. Wrong. I looked around one last time, trying to savor my last breath, my last sight, and my last moment being alive. I sat down in the chair. To my surprise and everyone else's, I happened to survive this test. This very test happened to be witnessed by King Arthur, who, upon realizing the greatness of this new knight, led me out to the river where a magic sword was laid in a stone. The stone had an inscription reading, "Never shall man take me, hence but only he whose side I ought to hang, and he shall be the best knight in the world." Apparently, everyone in Camelot knew about the famous Sword in the Stone. Everyone but me. Long story short, years before, a poor boy named Arthur pulled the sword out of the stone and became King of Camelot. That poor boy happened to be the same King Arthur standing in front of me, guiding me to the exact same sword, placed in the exact same stone. Man, I bet King Arthur felt all sorts of deja vu when I easily pulled the sword out of the stone as well. For some unknown reason, I accomplished this test with ease, which led to King Arthur to impulsively proclaim me to be the greatest knight ever. I couldn't believe my ears. Everyone knew that Sir Lancelot, my father, was a great knight, but now all of Camelot knew that I was even better. Maybe my father would finally be proud of me. Afterwards, I was then promptly invited to become a Knight of the Round Table, and soon afterwards, Arthur's court witnesses on an ethereal vision of the Grail. Quest to seek out this holy object was immediately begun at once, a quest that leads me to where the story has all started. After long nights that felt like pure torture and countless days back to back without even an hour of rest, we finally reached our destination, Carbonek. That word was like music to my ears. The knights that had also traveled with me, Sir Bors de Ganis and Sir Percival, rejoined forces as we traveled to Carbonek and discovered the girl together. We could not believe it. The long nights and the countless days without an ounce of sleep were finally all worth it once we stepped foot into the kingdom of Carbonek. Once there, we boarded a ship. When we boarded it, we found it surprisingly adorned, but empty. The ship happened to be the Ship of Faith. And none but steadfast believers are safe once boarded. The lady who has led me and the other knights here is Sir Percival's sister. She warns me not to enter unless I am sinless. Out of impulse, I agree, saying that I am sinless, without actually comprehending what she meant. As I enter, I yell at the top of my lungs, "I'll be glad to die if he is found tainted and finds a splendid sword and crown." I thought that would help me sound more hero-y and manly. But let's be honest, I was out of my mind and I had no idea what I was really saying. Neither Sir Bors nor Sir Percival is proved fit to fit the grip of the sword, but I for some reason am able to achieve it. Percival's holy sister tells me and the other two knights the history of the sword and scabbard, and they leave with it. Since I, Sir Galahad, mended the broken sword, and therefore I was the only one who was allowed to see the Holy Grail. We then arrived at a random castle where we miraculously slayed many enemies of God. A holy man tells me the story of the castle, directs us to the wasteland, and suddenly dies. On the way, me and the other two knights have further visions that lead us with our guide to the castle of the sick lady and forcefully urge to yield the custom of the castle, a silver dish of blood from the maiden's arm. The three knights fight me, Sir Bors and Sir Percival, but when Percival's sister unarms Custom, she yields to it. Knowing she is dying, she asks to be placed on a ship, saying that she will be found tender in a tower at the holy city of Sarahs, where all of them will be buried. A voice tells us that we are to be parted until they arrive at the Hall of Pelham, the maimed king. Sir Bors rides away to rescue a wounded knight. Percival and I decide to ride on. Guided by a voice, my father, Lancelot, enters the ship of Percival's dead sister. After a month, he meets me at a landing and I take him aboard. We then have some necessary father-son bonding time as we sail on together, encountering many adventures. Half a year passes. Then a white knight brings me a horse and calls him out of the ship in my father's, Lancelot's, company. A voice tells me that we are parting until Judgment Day. Lancelot finds his way to Castle Carbonek, where the Grail is, and gets a glimpse of the cup, but is immediately struck down and thus miraculously prevented from drawing near. He lies in a coma for 24 days, and then leaves the castle and turns back to Camelot. Later on our journey, Sir Bors and Sir Percival and I find the broken sword of David on the ship. Later, Sir Percival and I reach King Pelles. It was at the court of King Pelles that I decided to produce the Sword of David, and then mended it as well. Bors and Percival were then led to the location of the Holy Grail, and I stepped into the room containing the Grail. I was the knight who finally saw and beheld the Grail. Me, an orphan boy, Galahad, who had just recently found out my father was famous Sir Lancelot. The same boy who had just recently became a Knight of the Round Table held the Holy Grail in the palm of his hand. Do you know what this meant? It's okay, at first I didn't either. It meant that I was pure. It meant that I was perfect. It meant that I was kind-hearted. I certainly did not feel that way about myself at all. So it threw me in a loop as to why the Holy Grail chose me to be its seeker. These thoughts kept coming back, the more I thought about it. Why did the Holy Grail choose me? Why was I the special one among everyone else? The Holy Grail might have thought I was perfect, but I certainly, for one, did not think that with every ounce of my dignity. That is why I requested Joseph of Arimathea that I die, which that request was granted unto me. So I know this isn't the happy ending that all of you were expecting, but on the bright side, the Holy Grail was found. Let's clap to that. At least that was something to be happy about. As I told you before, I'm not the superstitious type. Maybe that's why the cup did not grant me holy powers such as everlasting life and eternal happiness. The ironic thing is that it granted me the exact opposite. I was not happy. In fact, I was miserable, and I've never felt this miserable in my lifetime. Now the world can live at peace knowing that there is no perfection in this world. Not even me. No matter what the girl might have implied, I was not perfect. No human being is perfect. So this story ends how it all started, with a quest. And not just any quest, a quest to find the Holy Grail. Except this time, no one will ever find it again. It's better for the world. It's better for the world. And this time, I'm not the one searching for the Holy Grail. You are, and everyone around us is. The Holy Grail might have been a real object, but it will always be a constant reminder that none of us is perfect. But we can surely try to be pure and kind-hearted along life's ways. The end.
That's such a great story, Joy. I love the meaning.
Thank you.
And next, snow coming week. For Monday, it'll be pajama day, and the activities will be 3-on-3 basketball. For Tuesday, it'll be fake injury day, and the activity will be TikTok making, basketball with South Baca. Wednesday will be meme day, and the activity will be duo game and singled out. Thursday will be age day, and the activity will be TikTok presentations. The dance is Saturday, February 4th, with pictures at 8. The dance is from 9 to 11 in the elementary gym. The dress code is a semi-formal polo, button-up, and ties for the boys, and semi-formal dresses for the girls.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Tune in next time.